All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Welcome. It's episode 30 of Logos Academy. It's Wednesday at our usual 4 p.m. Eastern start time. This is going to be a, well, the title of the show is Mein Kampf. That's going to be the book that I'm going to talk about the most and maybe make an announcement about. Looks like I'm missing a button on my shirt here. It's not very good. So I'm actually going to mostly format this show like a book recommendation stream. I've had a lot of people ask me a recommended reading list, books that I really like myself or think are very important. I get these questions consistently, and I don't have any formal list written out, so I figured a very good way to cover this would be to just do one show on it, and then anytime somebody asks me for book recommendations, I can just give them this video, and that'll make it a little bit easier. I'll kind of recommend them a show to watch. And I'll talk a little bit about the books, so I'm not just, hey, here's a book, read it, here's a book, read it. I'll actually kind of explain some of these books, why I recommend them, what's insightful about them, because, not everybody's going to like each type of book. I think there's a lot of, different tastes with these things. We have no sound on Odyssey. Okay, let me fix that. Okay, go ahead and refresh. If you guys are listening over on Odyssey, that should fix the sound. Typical Odyssey. I don't know why that's constantly a problem here. Okay, it should be fixed now. Okay, so just before we get into the books and the recommended reading, in the spirit of reading and talking about books, I do want to mention again, I brought up Antelope Hill, which is a publisher that I have now partnered with. They're a very interesting book publishing company. I think they have almost 90 books on their website at the moment. A lot of National Socialist literature. There's fascist literature up there. There's like Christian nationalism type literature. All of it is basically in this ideological realm of what we talk about on my show consistently. So it is only natural that I would partner with a company like this who is, very hand in hand with what we discuss here daily. So if you guys do end up using or purchasing something through Antelope Hill, it's antelopehillpublishing.com. You can actually, they're big enough that you can just look up Antelope Hill on a Google search and it should come up at the top. Or a Brave search. I don't use Google. And I have a code on the website now. It's Logos, LOGOS, and you'll save 10% on any purchase that you make on there. So make sure if you guys do decide to pick something up there, or if you're a regular shopper, that you now type that code in, save yourself a little bit of money. I will get a small royalty for that as well. And there's a lot of good stuff on there. Maybe I'll pull them up a little bit later in the show and promote it one more time. I am going to be having one of the gentlemen who is directly involved with Antelope Hill on my show next Friday, not this coming Friday, but the next one at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a pretty interesting show. I'm going to interview him about the platform, about the books, like kind of how they came to do this, what books they recommend. I'll ask a lot of questions like that. And then I might potentially be interviewing some authors or even doing co-host shows with some of the guys over at Antelope Hill that are familiar with these books and have read them themselves. So like a double analysis rather than just me talking about it myself. I'm trying to put more people in the frame. We do a lot of monologue shows. I think that can get kind of exhausting, so I don't want to overdo it with those. Also a reminder, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a show at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's not going to be on the Rumble Studio through the Stu Peters Network. It's just going to be on my normal channels because I'm not scheduled in for that time slot on Thursdays. However, it's going to be a good show. We're going to have Monica Schaefer. I'm sure if you guys have been watching my show, you're definitely familiar with her. Lana from Red Ice and Michelle Renouf. The three of those ladies are going to be joining me for a discussion about Ursula Haverbeck and a show in memory of her and her fight against this Jewish system. Psychologically, she did a very good job at portraying our message in this more lighthearted manner. I think that's really good to see our message come from women a little more often, especially ones that have a very warm and welcoming personality, a lot of enthusiasm to them. I think that can be really uplifting, helps people take this in. You know, when you look at a woman like Ursula Haverbeck or Monica Schaefer, and they're like, hey, have you looked at this Holocaust thing? It's very hard for someone to, from the outside looking in, who doesn't know about these things, it's very hard for them to look at a woman like Monica Schaefer, who's all smiles, all enthusiasm, very happy person overall, and go, oh, that lady looks really hateful and evil, you know, which is obviously why most people don't look into what we're talking about, because they get that impression. So it's good for them to hear it from someone like that, who doesn't have this, you know, like skinhead archetype or something like that. And I think they do a very good job at that. Well, Ursula did, and Monica does. So, let's say hello. We got some people in here. We've got No Stopping It. Welcome. Fight for Freedom. Hello. Archimedes. Bianca. We got Urban. Urban, it's nice to see you, brother. Cheetah. Welcome, everybody. Oh, you liked the Brother Nathaniel Alex Jones analysis. Yeah, a lot of people really liked that. I think I should do more analysis streams. People really seem to like when I analyze things, which will kind of go into what we're going to talk about at the end of the show tonight, when I do talk about Mein Kampf. I have an announcement to make in that regard. I think you can put two and two together if you're here and listening to that already. But Walther, welcome, brother. It's nice to see you. You catch most of the shows. I really appreciate that. Lewis, hello. Hello. Okay, don't forget, folks, we are live on Twitter, Odyssey, Rumble, FTJ, and we're live on the Stu Peters Network as well. So you guys can catch me on any of those platforms. And if you don't already have an account over on FTJ Media, please make an account over there. Brand new site, up and coming. They're very good about helping out the creators. It's a very reasonable platform when it comes to these fees and all these like middleman circumstances. They're very fair to us. They don't take this like egregious, like Rumble takes 20%, Entropy takes 15%. So they don't take this real big fee from us, which is very kind of them to do that. They're really not making any money doing it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it needs to be pointed out, especially Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a really big one. He's a huge obstacle for us because he just keeps people in this box, man. And he's so charismatic and enthusiastic in his rhetoric. People really, they really get infatuated with that. Joker, welcome. WT Tube? I don't know what that is. I don't know if you're referencing the guy that was doing streams, or if you're referencing a platform. The way it's typed out, it's kind of confusing. James, thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you, brother. Orange Park, welcome. From Florida, nice to see that. I gotta visit Florida sometime in my adult life. Welcome, Patrick. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm reading chats. We got six chat rooms open, so I'm not talking personally to anyone. Yeah, Archimedes, I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with that at all. Yeah, yeah, Alex Jones is a big one. Definitely a problem. I know Florida has gotten pretty pretty dark, to say the least. Yeah. I'm sure there's still some nice parts in Florida. Yeah, Archimedes, it's, I'm aware of a lot of those videos. I try not to get into that stuff because a lot of it boils down to speculation, and I just don't want to be the guy constantly speculating on things. It's just going to cause drama, you know. I hate drama. I hate being around the drama stuff. It sucks. Splattercat, welcome. I don't see you here often. Pavlov, hello. No problem. Don't apologize. Just follow through. Just follow through. I would appreciate it. You would be a very big help for us. Okay, let me check out. I think I have to refresh my FTJ tab. The chat doesn't seem to come up on the first time. I always have to refresh. There we go. It's good now. Okay. All right, now it's good. All right, let's get into the book recommendations. Let's get into the show here. So I have a lot of book recommendations. I'm gonna try to kind of like limit myself, because if I really go into all my book recommendations, I'm gonna go off the wall. I have like thousands and thousands. So most of these I have physical copies of. There are quite a few books that I don't have physical copies of that are going to be just kind of recommendations that I'll give. I might be able to show like a PDF version of it or something like that. But most of the books that I have that I have read, I have physical copies of, because I typically don't like reading through like, you know, a computer screen. It just feels, it doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel correct. Strathmore, awesome. That's you. I like that. I like that. Up in the name game. Fight for Freedom. Maybe towards the end of the show. Maybe when we're done with the book recommendations. I don't want to go too deep on that now. I do want to get into the topic. I'm Here to Radicalize. Welcome, welcome. Emba, it's ftjmedia.com. M-E-D-I-A, media.com. All right, let's get into some books here. So I've recommended this book on my show before. I'm going to start with a book that I think is pretty easy. It's really easy to digest, and it's not written in this like really, you know, super super big language. It's not really difficult to follow a lot of the concepts, and it's a good starter pack book. This book is Exposing the Lies of History, Deprogramming 101. This is by Reed Sainsbury. This book is on Money Tree Publishing, so if you ever want to get a book like this, and you type in, yet again, code LOGOS, you're going to save yourself 10% on the purchase. This book is a perfect starter book. So if you're somebody who is like myself and you research this topic all the time, you're constantly looking into it, you might not find this book as interesting. I will say I did learn a couple things in this book, but I didn't learn a lot. A lot of this was information that I've pretty much already gathered myself. But there is some stuff in here. Like, he goes into the Katyn massacre. That's something that's not frequently talked about. You will find facts in here that you probably didn't know, but there are like a couple hidden gems here and there. Most of this is very, very simple broad brush, giving you a general history of things, right? So, if you have a family member or a close friend that doesn't know a lot about these topics, they have never looked into World War I and why it happened, or World War II in a what we'll call revisionist perspective. I hate that term, but this is a great book for them. This will give them a really basic understanding of those, all of these topics. It's very broad, right? So it covers World War I, it covers World War II, it covers the Holocaust, it covers 9/11, it covers the Federal Reserve. It covers even the Constitution a little bit. It goes into a lot of concepts. It's written from an American perspective as well, so might not be a book if you're, like, in Germany or something like that. It might not be the book for you. But if you have a family in America and they're not really privy to these topics, I think this is a really fantastic starter book, and I highly recommend this specifically as a starter. Again, you're more than welcome to read this if you're somebody that's already researched on these topics, but I think you're going to find that this is more of a starter pack kind of a book to start to understand some of these concepts. So that's Reed Sainsbury is the author of that book. I have interviewed him on my Odyssey channel. If you go back into my rebroadcasts, I have an interview tab on there. You'll find that interview in there. He's a very nice gentleman. Uh, Brian, the Republic came. Nice, nice. I'm happy to hear that you followed through. You got the book. Best of luck reading it. Best of luck. And I really hope you enjoy that book, which it will be on my book recommendation list today, of course. Okay, let's see. I want to kind of keep it on the like easy books first. I'm just going to try to go in order as best I can, with simplicity's sake. This is a perfect, again, another good starter book. Actually, though, you will find things in this that you definitely didn't know, as a person that is educated on these topics. I read this book for the first time, and I learned quite a bit, and I was pretty researched on this already. So, this is The Unspoken Kennedy Truth by Laurent, and I'm going to try with the last name. I think it's Guinée. It's French, so I'm not good with French. But yet again, I have had the author of this book on my show. We had a nice interview about the book. He kind of went over some of the concepts in it, why he wrote the book. He's got a lot of other books too. He's a pretty good author. I have a couple of his other books as well. But this is the damning one because it goes into the JFK assassination in another light. You know, you typically are getting this Roger Stone kind of, hi buddy, explanation of what the JFK assassination was, right? And it's very bland and shitty. He's just going into the CIA and the government did it, right? The government did it. This actually gets into the Jewish connections of that assassination, such as the man that was recording the assassination, who happened to be both Jewish and a 33rd degree Freemason. The Daltex building where this guy was supposedly shooting from, that was owned by a Jew. The actual setup, them driving through and doing this event with JFK in the car, that was organized by a Jew. The man that supposedly killed JFK, Lee Harvey Oswald, who I truly believe did not do that, he was killed before he could go on trial and say that he didn't do it, because he constantly was saying that he didn't do it. And he was killed by, yet again, another Jew. So you'll find all of that information in this book, as well as a lot more. Who financed some of these things? He goes into some of these like back organizations that not a lot of people know about or talk about. Really good book. Definitely recommend this one. It's cheap. You can get it on like Amazon. I don't know if he sells it anywhere else, but it is a very solid book, and it's short, which is really important. It's a very short book, right? Small pages, not a lot to it. So you can get through this in a day or two. If it takes you more than 2 days to read this, you got a problem. 140 pages. So another good starter book. If you even if you do know about JFK assassination, this still is a really good book. But if you have family, friends that really don't know a lot about this, and this is a good one because everybody is skeptical, like literally everybody. You could talk to your average normie, and they're like, "Yeah, Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill JFK. It was the government, or it was the CIA, or you know, or Lyndon B. Johnson did it." You know, like they all have their like explanation. They're all wrong, but they don't believe the official narrative, so this could be a really good way to plant a seed for those people. Okay, so that's another good starter book. Let's see. Maybe this is another good starter book too. And this is one from another American perspective. This is Against Our Better Judgment by Allison, I think Vier would be how you pronounce that, if she's German, which I would assume. So this is not the most in-depth book. You're not going to get an insane level of understanding on this. Yeah, still haven't heard anything from Carl Hamers, unfortunately. I unfortunately think he may no longer be with us, which is a shame. So this book is there's a lot of hidden gems in this book. Like you'll find some facts that you didn't know. They go into this rabbi, Rabbi Korf, who actually tried to organize a bombing of Britain. Not a lot of people know about that. It's really hard to research that specific thing. There's like not much on it. And the guy that he hired to do this, like, exposed the plot. There's weird stuff in here. He talks about the SS Patria. Basically, the consensus of this book is explaining the creation of Israel, how terrible Israel has been historically, the acts of terrorism that they have done, and the other bad actions that they have done. And it tries to convince the reader from an American perspective that, you know, Israel is not our greatest ally, right? We all, you know, agree on that. But this is a good read. You will learn some things in this. It's not a magnificent read. It's not like the best thing you're ever going to read. It's not very long either. Like most of the fucking book is endnotes. Wow, yeah, it's like a lot of endnotes, which is good. They're sourcing. Yeah, it's like 100 pages. It's like 100 pages. So another book that you could read in a day, maybe two tops. Very short, very simple. Good read. Let's see. Which one do I want to do first? Let's do The International Jew. I'm sure everybody's familiar with this book. Also, that last book, I believe, you can get that one on, like, Amazon as well. It's not on a lot of Our Guys book publishing websites. If these are on Our Guys sites, I try my best to recommend those sites so that you're not spending money at some big Jewish conglomerate, but rather you're supporting our people who are working hard to put this information out there. But it's not always the case that you can find it on something like that. No, I have not read Camp of the Saints. I've never even heard of it. Dan Zimmons, welcome. Okay, this is The International Jew by Henry Ford. This is in two volumes. Okay, this is a big read. This is a long read. We're talking, you know, 500 or 600 pages. Actually, more. Like 800 or 900 pages. This is a big read. So it comes in two volumes. This is one that you can get on moneytreepublishing.com. Again, code LOGOS, LOGOS. You'll save yourself 10%. This is a very solid book. This book goes deep into the Jewish history in the United States of America. He exposes the Jews that are behind rigging the World Series of Baseball in the early 1900s. He goes into Jews and their role in World War I. He talks about their control over the media. He talks about the Protocols of Zion. I mean, there are so many things that are touched on in this book. So just as a little bit of history, if you guys are not familiar with this, this was written by Henry Ford. And it actually was never really meant to be a book. It was actually a newspaper company that he opened up where he was publishing kind of like short-form articles on some of these things. And then he just decided, you know what, maybe let's conglomerate all of this together and we'll turn it into a book format. And that's what we have now. So Henry Ford actually used to give out copies of these with new Model Ts. Used to be in the glove box. So it's a good read. Very good read if you want to know more about Jews in America. Because there's not a lot of information on Jews. Well, modern times there is. But historically, like pre-World War II, there's not a lot of information on what the Jews were doing in the United States. But this will go into that. This covers quite a bit of their actions and activities in the United States. And he gives a very good quote on the Protocols of Zion in this book, or a good assessment, rather. He says, you know, a lot of people will call the book a forgery, which is what the Jews today call that book. But he says it really doesn't matter if it's a forgery or not. That's kind of beside the point. The point is that what we are reading in the Protocols of Zion, we are seeing happen. These Jews that may or may not have made that plan up, they're clearly carrying out those actions right before our eyes. If you read the Protocols of Zion, it's very clear that all of the things that are written out in there are exactly what they're doing today. You can check it off like a checklist, and we've experienced just about all of them. I think maybe one or two that haven't been. Which would be another good book recommendation is The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. I would recommend that you guys check that book out if you have not read that. It's very simple. It's a very simple book, but it's a good one. You know, it really it really puts into formulation their plan, what these Jews are trying to do. If you're somebody who realizes Jews are destroying society and, like, they're a destructive force here and here and here, and you read the Elders of Zion, you'll come to the realization of, okay, wait, this has been planned out for a long time, and the plan is written down, so you can study that plan, and it helps you to notice the Jewish hand in things when you're looking around, right? When you see OnlyFans or this or that, you can just instantly pick it up right away, right? That it's kind of, it goes without saying that a company that's that corrupt, that's that destructive for the greater of society is owned by a Jew. It kind of goes without saying. You could still double check, but it kind of goes without saying, especially if you know these things quite well. And that was that's a good read. Protocols of Zion. Definitely check that one out. And The International Jew by Henry Ford. This was one of the first books I ever read. And I really recommend that people check this book out. Now, there's one thing I just want to premise and state in here. This book, this author, Douglas Reed, who was a fantastic war correspondent in World War II from the British side, he had a very warped view of Hitler that I do not agree with. Okay, he believes in the Halabunga or whatever. Okay, he's not the greatest on that front. This book is The Controversy of Zion, and he goes into a deep analysis from the beginning of Christian history into the modern day of Jewish behavior, what they've done, where they come from. He goes into some of their roots, some of their doctrines. He goes into Zionism. What's really interesting, by the way, he states in this book that if there ever were to be a World War III, this book was written in 1960, well, 1955 to 60. He states, if there ever were to be a World War III, that it would begin with Israel-Palestine as the conflict. He states that in this book. I think it's a very good prediction, and I think we're seeing that come true today. I do not think that this war will fizzle out. So this is a very good book, very long. We're talking just about 600 pages here, but it's very information heavy. So you can read, you know, one chapter and find 10 or 15 things you didn't know in that chapter. Then you read the next chapter, same deal. Some of the chapters are really short, but most of them are pretty lengthy. Very good book. Yet again, he also goes over the protocols. He goes over revolutions. He goes over communism. He goes over Jewish representation in the media. He talks about Christ as a figure against them. Good book, good book. This is another one. I believe it's only like on Amazon or something of the sort, if you want to get it over there. I think it's pretty cheap. Good read. One of my first reads, really helped me learn quite a bit. Again, as always, when you read a book, you have to be very independent in your thought when you're analyzing a book. You have to look for a bias or a miscalculation in the author's judgment. So keep your eye open for those things, because you're going to see some things in this book that you probably won't agree with, and especially when it comes to Hitler and National Socialism. He had a very personal, poor perception of that. I think it came from a little bit of his own bias. My arm is locking up on me. Yeah, I don't know, Bow Hunter. I do not know. I do not know. Okay. Now we're going to get into some German works. They're not German, but that are about Germany, about National Socialist Germany and things of the sort. So we'll start with this one. This one is from Benton Bradbury. This is The Myth of German Villainy. This is a simple book. You're not going to find, like, insane insights in here. Now there are two versions of this book. I want to clarify that. I just so happen to have both. So here is the first edition, and here is the second edition. Now, in the first edition, there were some bad information pieces, some things that were labeled as fact that were not fact. So in the second translation, or the second edition, rather, that has been taken out, and they've worked on fixing that. So I recommend that you get the second edition, so you're not having some of the false information that was put in the first edition. And there's, I think it's basically the same size. I don't think they added many more pages. This is a very good work. Another one that you can find on moneytreepublishing.com. Again, if you guys want to purchase something on there, code LOGOS, L-O-G-O-S, you'll save yourself 10%. And this is a good read. It's not the most insightful read that you'll ever have, but there's a lot of good information in here, a lot of hidden gems about Germany, understanding who the quote unquote Nazis really were, giving a better perspective and understanding on that, why they made some of the actions that they did, what some of their ideas were, contrary to what the media tells you their ideas were, which is always false. Good book. Do recommend this one. Nothing like super, super in-depth to explain with that one. I think the title is pretty self-explanatory. But you will appreciate that read for sure if you want to know more about what was happening in World War II National Socialist Germany at the time. We got Emba with a $20 super chat on Rumble. Thank you very much. Says, thanks for your work. Thank you for supporting such a work that will probably end up going to more books. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. And don't forget, if you guys do want to support the show, Super Chat options are available on all the platforms. You can do it on Odyssey, Rumble, Entropy, FTJ. I always recommend, if you are going to support the show, that you do so through FTJ. It's the lowest processor fees. I get feed 3%. Okay, so the middleman fee is very low. Again, Odyssey is 8.5%, Entropy's 15, Rumble's 20. So, pretty egregious fees. I also do have crypto wallets in the BioStream link underneath my shows. You guys can check that one out as well. Okay, this is a good one. This is Hellstorm. One in the chat, if you guys are familiar with the Hellstorm documentary, two if you are not. One if you're familiar with that, two if you aren't. Some people say Hitler was right. Yeah, he absolutely was. I would implore and challenge anybody to point where he was wrong. I think it's very hard to find any points that he was wrong on. Oh, wow. Okay, a lot of ones. Good. Okay, so a lot of people know about the documentary. So if you know about that documentary and you've seen the video about the bombing of Dresden and what happened to those people, which was terrible, this is an emotional piece. Okay, this is a tearjerker. So, you know, if you're into your soap operas and you love the Holocaust narrative and you love reading into, well, the innocent Jews and all the terrible things, the shoes and the head shaving and the all of these awful things, this will give you that same emotional piece from the other side of the aisle, where you can see what really happened to these innocent German civilians. It's terrible. It's a tough read. I will be honest. It's very emotional. I'm not typically an emotional type of person, but you will definitely experience that with this book for sure. So, I do recommend this book. This is more of like an entertaining type of book, right? Like people like to read like drama fictions and things like that. Like this is kind of up in that area where you're going to be kind of like enthralled in the book. It's going to grab your focus and attention with the stories that you're going to be reading here. It's not like this real dry, like philosophical, intellectual type of book, which you get, you know, a lot of my recommendations are kind of in that realm. So, you know, good book, definitely recommend. Okay, On the same note of understanding National Socialist Germany, I have two more recommendations. I've recommended these many times on my show, so I'm sure you guys have already seen these recommendations if you watch regularly. This is Germany Speaks by Joachim von Ribbentrop. Now, this book, I don't know where you can get this book. This book was gifted to me by a colleague, Carl Hamers, who we were just talking about earlier, who unfortunately, I believe, has passed away. We have not heard, no one has heard from him in over a year. He's gone completely MIA, so he's either in jail, terminally ill, or he is no longer with us. So hopefully we can hear from him someday. But nonetheless, I do appreciate that he has done this for me. I have some interviews on my show with him. I do recommend you guys watch those. He's a wonderful man. It's a shame that he's gone. This is a good book. This will go into some of the policies that Germany was doing. So they actually had made this book to explain to the English-speaking world what Germany was doing in their language, right? Because a lot of media propaganda was flying around in the United States and in Britain, convincing people that Adolf Hitler was this big bad boogeyman and they were doing terrible things. And no one really knew what was actually going on in National Socialist Germany at the time. So they decided to hop on and make a book to tell people what's going on. And they write out some of their policies, some of the things that they were planning on doing. And this is a really good way to kind of learn a little bit more about their policy and what they had in mind. Because you don't really get a lot of that. So, Zyklon Peterson. Yeah, man, I've been on here for a very long time. Very long time. By the way, that last book, Hellstorm, is another book that you can find on MoneyTreePublishing.com. This one is hard to find a physical copy of. I really don't know where you can actually get this. I'm sure you can find it online very easy, but I don't know where you can find that physical copy at. Dragon Fox with a $3 super chat. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. He says, do you have a favorite white nationalist creator, content creator? I made a tier list today, but I would be interested in other people's tier lists. Not really, no. I don't consume a lot of content. Most of my stuff that I consume is through books. If I had to pick one, the only person, actually, who I really watch their streams would be Thomas Sewell. Thomas Sewell has incredible insights. He's very articulate. Always recommend people check him out. I think he's one of the best leaders for our cause right now. He's well-spoken. He upholds the ideals extremely well, very intelligent, and very articulate, which is very important. So he's a captivating speaker, too, which is very helpful. You know, there's some people in our movement that are really intelligent, but their speech patterns are boring or dull. Like, they have a very dry, like, this is this book, here is what this book is about, let's talk about this book today. Like, it can be very dry, it's hard to follow. So he's not like that. So I would say probably him. He's the only person I really watch a lot of. Yeah, I have. Oh my god, I have an insanely big list on my computer of saved books, which we won't go into. One thing I also will say today, I do have books that are written by Jews that I do sometimes recommend for a psychological analysis of what the Jew thinks of us, what their thoughts are, like Germany Must Perish, that book. That's a really good example. You Gentiles is a good example of how they think of us. I will not be recommending any of those books today. I do have a lot of them, but I'm going to stick to our literature from our people today. I don't like promoting those books too much, although I do think it's good to analyze what the Jewish perspective is of these things, and how their mind functions, which is quite psychotic when you really look into it pretty deeply. But I don't want people buying these books. Like, I don't want money going to these Jews so that we can analyze how they think. You know, like, they don't buy our books to analyze how we think. They just get, like, you know, cheap copies or free copies, right? So if you're gonna read those books, I actually do recommend you read them through a PDF online for free, so that you're not giving these people any of this money. I think that's really important. Excuse me. Yeah, there's a lot of those books. Again, I'm not going to go into those books today. I just don't want to promote them on my channel. All right, we'll do it other times. I mentioned them in passing, but I don't want to give like my direct recommendation that people are going and buying those things. So, okay, here is Hitler's Revolution. This is by Richard Tador. Now, I believe this author has actually done some interviews, if you guys want to hear from the author as well. I don't know where you can find them, but I know they're out there, probably on BitChute, I would imagine. This is a fantastic book. Now, this is a starter book, so if you want to start to learn how National Socialist ideology was, what that ideology was, this is a really good starter book for that. So it'll give you some of their economic ideas, some of their cultural ideas, their social ideas. It'll go into some of these things so that you can learn more about what National Socialist Germany actually represented as a political ideology. And I really recommend that people understand that further, because this is very important. When we look historically, there's a lot of different political ideologies out there, right? We've got democracy, we've got constitutional republics, we've got anarchistic states, we've got oligarchies, we've got, liberalist kind of libertarian type of ideals. We have fascism, we have all of these different communism, right? All of these ideologies in the past have come up, and they have at least failed once, twice, some of them have failed many times, right? Democracy has failed incessantly all throughout history. Democracy has failed. Communism has obviously failed quite hard. Forms of fascism have failed historically in quite a few circumstances. Oligarchies fail quite often. So you'll see this this process. Now, republics tend to be the best. It is when they degenerate into these other forms of society that they tend to fail. So republics are good as well. I have nothing against republics. Now, what's very key to understand here is National Socialism is very unique. It's not... a lot of people like to equate it to fascism and say, oh, Hitler was a fascist. No, not really. National Socialism was its own unique ideal that was very specific in that time period, right? And there's a lot that we can learn from that, okay? And this is essentially an ideology that's never been fully practiced. So you'll get this trope constantly, well, Hitler and the Nazis failed, so it's a terrible idea. National Socialism is awful. Well, they didn't fail economically. They didn't fail socially. Their government didn't implode from within because it wasn't organized properly. They didn't fail politically. They failed a multi-front war. You know, again, this is a state that's the size of Texas, okay, who was against Russia, America, Britain, all of these world powers trampling down on top of them, France as well. I mean, it took all of these world powers together to stop them. I don't want to say stop them. That sounds ridiculous. To bring them to their knees in favor of democracy, right? So National Socialism as an actual ideology, as a political belief system, and a social and cultural tradition has never actually been fully tried. It's never been fully practiced out. We saw the very early, birth stage of it, which is the golden age of it. But what's really interesting is it's the only ideology that we have historically that we've never got to see run a society and to know if this actually would start to decay like everything else, right? Like, again, we talked about republics are a great state form, but we've seen time and time again in history that they tend to degrade into democracies or into anarchistic states or oligarchies. And when they become these state forms, that's when they start to collapse. This is what's happening in America today, right? We were a constitutional republic. This country was upheld very well politically for a lot of years. It is slowly starting to be subverted into a democracy. It's a process that's been basically continuing since the end of World War II. They've constantly been pushing this process of subverting this country into a democracy. And as it's becoming more and more democratic, more and more of a democracy, we're watching this country collapse before our eyes. This is History 101. This is laid out in history, which we'll get into another book recommendation. I guess maybe I'll give that book recommendation now. Yet again, this was another one that was gifted to me. I do not have a place that you can buy a physical copy of this. So it's Hitler's Revolution by Richard Tedor. It's Tedor. I do recommend this book if you want to get that starter knowledge of what they were doing over in Germany, politically and ideologically. That brings us to my next recommendation, which I don't know where my small copy is, so I'm going to give you guys a big copy. This is The Republic by Plato, which I find to be the most important book in history. Now, I constantly say on my show that Mein Kampf is the most important book right now, and it is. Due to our circumstances, where we're at the moment, right, that is why this book is so important. However, The Republic by Plato is the most important book to understand Western thought, Western worldview, Western philosophy, what we call the Occident, right? This is the best book to get a general understanding of how our people have always thought and how our societies function. You know, you read this book, we were talking about republics and how they decay into other state forms. That is laid out very well in this book. Plato discusses this process thousands of years ago, okay? Over 2,000 years ago, he's explaining in this book how societies crumble and how societies rise, okay? And he describes how democracy fails. And it is word for word in this book what we're experiencing today. Just like when you read Mein Kampf, and he talks about the Weimar Republic, it is word for word what we're experiencing today. This book talks about the societal decay that we experience in ancient Greece, right? So, you know, with whatever civilizational history they have, it's absolutely insane. I cannot recommend this book enough. I have read this book a dozen times. I've read this book more than I've read Mein Kampf. I've studied this book front to back. I love this book. This is my number one top pick, aside from Mein Kampf. I only pick Mein Kampf over this because of the circumstance we're in today. If we were not living in a, you know, postmodern Weimar Republic, I would be recommending this book as my number one. The only reason Mein Kampf takes the cake is simply because, well, we're living in Jutopia. So it's kind of important to know how these people think and function and how to stop it. So that's why Mein Kampf is number one right now. This is a book you can find anywhere. It's not a censored book. You can't not find this somewhere. Like, you can find it at Barnes & Noble's, which is Jewish, so I wouldn't recommend getting it there. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it at probably a local bookstore that is selling old books. Most people that have been a philosophy major or study or have cared about philosophy have read this book. It's the groundwork for Western philosophy. So any philosopher that you read, Kant, Nietzsche, Hitler, I consider a philosopher, the Founding Fathers, all of these people read this book. All of them. All of them studied Plato's The Republic. So it's literally what inspired, you know, the Republic, the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, right? So recommend this book. Highly recommend it. Can't recommend it enough. Please do get yourself a copy of that. It's like a must-have. It really is. It also contains the Allegory of the Cave, which we talk about that philosophical allegory all of the time on the show. It's such a good allegory. It lays prescient even today in human nature exactly how that allegory is laid out. So definitely recommend that book for your own understanding of the world. Very good book. In regards to political philosophy and, you know, understanding how things work and function, this is another good book on this. Now, this book I do not recommend to a fresh reader, somebody who doesn't read a lot, or somebody who doesn't have a lot of reading under their belt. It's a very tough read. It's even tough for me. I've read a lot of books. And this book is a brain stumper. Like, you're sitting on pages for, you know, a good 5 or 10 minutes really thinking about what you're reading, really rehashing up what you've read in this book. It's a very tough read. I'm going to be honest. It's not a fun one, but there are a lot of crazy good insights in this book. It's about almost 400 pages. This is Revolt Against the Modern World by Julius Evola. Fantastic read, but again, it is difficult. You are not going to have an easy time reading this book. I will be entirely honest. It's a very tough book. It's mentally challenging. And he goes into some really deep concepts explaining a true revolt against modern society. Not an artificial one, not just a physical revolt against it, not just a revolt against the simpler degeneracies that we can see on their face, but actual human and societal flaws that we don't really analyze all that often. I'm sorry, this book, the one thing, it's the copy that I have, but the book just stinks. It's like, it's that fresh paper smell. This book specifically does that to me. This is a book, I'm sure some of our websites, some of our guys have copies of this on their sites. I just don't know of an exact site that has it. But it's a very good read. Highly recommend. Okay. Let's see. What should we do next? Which one do I want to do? Maybe we'll do this one. This is a book that I think is, this was recommended to me probably a year and a half ago. And I'm not all the way through this book, so I can't give a very super strong recommendation for it like I would with the other books. This is The Poetic Edda, if you guys are familiar with that. It's a compilation of, old Norse mythology, Norse kind of like folk tales, things of that sort. This is good if you are looking into the roots of your race, if you want to look deeper into an understanding of where you come from racially, how your ancestors thought, how they viewed the world, what their understanding of morality was. This is a really good book for that. It's more of a historical piece to kind of spark some interest in your history and where you exactly come from, intellectually as well as physically. So I do recommend this book. It's not like you're going to get some modern insights or anything like that from this, but I do recommend this book. Yet again, probably can find it anywhere. Now, I also want to say, I do recommend if you're going to get this, that you get a good translation. Now, I got the Henry Adams Bellows translation. I think he's good. I think he did a good job. So I would recommend that translation. I don't know if our guys have translated this book yet. They might have. But make sure you don't get, like, some fucking Jewish modern scholar's translation. There's a lot of very modern translations of this book. Please do not get those. I try to air people away from modern translations of, like, anything. Because most of it has these Jewish ideas put into it, right? Another book I want to recommend on that note, talking about racialism, Myth of the 20th Century. We just did a stream last week where we analyzed that book to try to inspire some people to read it. It's a very deep and heavy book. There is a lot of pages. It's like 700 or 800 pages. And it's a tough read. There are some really serious concepts in there. You have to have a pretty good understanding of history, geography, theology, all of these things you have to have a really good grasp on to understand what's happening in that book. There's so many things referenced. He goes into the theorized origins of the Aryan people. He goes into our ideologies, our value systems. He talks about this concept of racial soul, which is a very important concept that basically states that your skin, your outer look, right, your outer look is actually just a reflection of that inward racial soul, which is its own character, right? And you'll notice that each race has this essential character to them. Blacks have a very primitive, aggressive character. whites have a very altruistic, to a sense, to a point where sometimes it can be pathological. We're seeing that today. We have a very altruistic, sentimental nature to us. Jews have a very materialistic nature to them, a deceptive nature. So you'll see this amongst the races, and it's pretty well laid out in that book. It's Myth of the 20th Century by Alfred Rosenberg. It's a fantastic read. And no, just because his name is Rosenberg does not mean he's Jewish. He is a German. He was a National Socialist philosopher. He was the philosopher of the Third Reich. Walther, I've actually not read March of the Titans. I've heard very good things about it. I have not read that book, so I can't recommend that. Jose, if I'm saying that right, thank you. Eternal Strangers was a good work. That was actually one of the first books in my book club. It's a pretty good read. Okay, continuing. This is a simple one, but this one's kind of fun. Merchant of Venice by Shakespeare. I think this is a very interesting book. To hear back in medieval Europe that they were experiencing the same problems with Jews as a mercantile class, or merchant class, rather. This is a very good little read. If you guys aren't familiar with The Merchant of Venice, I have a very old copy. This copy is clearly from the late 1700s. Very old. I'm very careful with this book. I will not write in this book. It's a good read. It's a good read. It goes into, Shylock the Jew, and it shows some of the understanding of Jewish nature back in medieval Europe. So I would recommend this book. Again, not, like, crazy insightful, but it's just interesting to see what our ancestors, who didn't have technology, didn't have, like a library of things that they can go read about Jewish behavior, how they perceive Jews, and how their experiences were with these people. Will I list these works in the description? Probably not. No, it's going to take me forever. Where is the mainstream being broadcasted? It's hard to say where the main one would be. We are on the Stu Peters Network on Rumble. I'm on my own Rumble, which is Logos Revealed I. We're on Odyssey, Logos Revealed on there. All the chat rooms have people talking in them, so wherever you would like, wherever you feel most comfortable watching. Yeah, George, being real subversive today. Real subversive. All right, we got next recommendation. This is a big one. Siege by James Mason. This is a fantastic book. I forgot to say, Merchant of Venice. I don't know where you can get that book. I'm sure you could probably get it like anywhere. It's probably not a very heavily censored book. Although the ADL probably calls it like a piece of hateful literature or something. The seedbed of anti-Semitism, right? Siege by James Mason is a great book. This goes into basically revolutionary fervor, understanding revolutions, understanding the mindset of being a revolutionary, what that means. What does it mean to be a revolutionary, physically, psychologically, ideologically? What does it mean to be a revolutionary? You know, and this is something that I really like to talk to people about, and I try to hone in on, because it is going to take revolutionaries moving forward for this cause. We are not going to win with rebels. We're not going to win with, lukewarm, patient people. It's going to take revolutionaries. You have to have that revolutionary mindset. And this is a multi-tiered mindset. Okay, so a revolutionary mindset consists of quite a few different things. Number one, it consists of a will to sacrifice. This is a very important piece that you have to have if you are serious about something like this. You have to be willing to sacrifice. You are going to lose money doing something like this. You are going to experience social outcasting for doing something like this. You are going to experience hardship. You might experience imprisonment. You have to be willing to jump on board. You have to be willing to risk some of these things. It's not easy. It's not easy. Okay. So for me, as an individual, when I come across somebody that is anonymous, you know, and they're really interested in the movement, they want to do shows with me and stuff, I'll do a show with you, but just know, if you're one of those people that's anonymous, you don't have my respect. You don't have my full respect. Now, with exceptions, there are exceptions of people that are inside of the system. They might be a lawyer, or they might be who could help us with lawfare, right? Or they might be, because that's what Jews use, lawfare. There might be, you know, a police officer who might be able to convince his fellow troops that maybe you shouldn't be working on behalf of the ADL. So some of those examples of people that are, you know, anonymous and behind the scenes, if there's somebody that is actually in a really good position inside of the system to do us due diligence, I understand it in that case. But I've come across a lot of people that are anonymous for their own personal reasons. Oh, you know, I don't want my wife to find out I'm doing this. Or, oh, you know, I don't want to lose my Burger King job or my warehouse job. You have to be willing to sacrifice some of these things if you're serious, if you're really serious. So I have the utmost respect for people that are very clear revolutionaries that are willing to sacrifice these things. And again, one other concept that's really important in the revolutionary mindset is being outside of the system. Now, this is really important. I don't just mean, oh, I'm self-employed, I don't rely on a Jewish manager, so I'm not in the system, right? I'm not working for the system. That's not all that means. It's a piece, it's a big aspect, absolutely. It's not all that means. You have to be psychologically outside of this system. So I see people that say, "Oh, I'm a national socialist. I'm against the Jews, and I'm very based." And then these same people are watching Netflix shows on a daily basis. They're retweeting sports advertisements. They're sitting around making sports bets. Right? They're still psychologically inside of the system. They have not left the system psychologically. Okay, and that's not revolutionary. So if you are a true revolutionary, this term based, right? That term based, that is, it's a very broad term that's used for a lot of different things, okay? But to be based means that you are not psychologically a part of the system anymore. You don't, I secretly still like this one Jewish comedian, and I watch his shows because they're funny. But I really do hate Jews. This is pathetic. Like, I see this all the time. People, I don't like Jews. I don't like Jews. Oh, well, that actor, he's pretty good. I do like his movies. Or they're referencing these movies while having a discussion about how badly we need to break our people out of this system. You want to break them out of this system? You need to stop promoting the psychological aspects of this system. Okay, that's truly revolutionary. You cannot still be watching these fucking Jewish movies or supporting a Jewish comedian. Oh, he's kind of funny. Not good. So, very important. And James Mason goes into all of this extremely well in this book. Really recommend that you guys read this. Brilliant guy. Been around for a lot of years. He called out a lot of this stuff way before it actually started to happen. Definitely recommend that you guys check this book out. This is another one that is on MoneyTreePublishing.com. You can get that with the code LOGOS, 10% off. Don't watch movies? That's good. I don't watch movies either. And I really recommend that people don't. The closest thing I'll watch to a movie is a documentary. And it's always about, you know, World War II, National Socialism, you know, philosophy, something like that. So you should be learning something if you're going to be consuming content. The idea is to not just be consuming for the sake of doing so. This is how the Jews win, is bread and circus. Yeah, I guess if Neil Diamond is Jewish, I would assume with that last name. Yeah, I don't like Owen Benjamin. I think he's subversive. I'm not a fan. Definitely not a fan. Good. I'm happy to hear that there's so many people that don't watch movies. That's good. That's really good. I got my wife to stop watching television too. She was a perpetual TV watcher. It was disgusting. Every day she'd get home, TV's on, TV's on. I got her probably about 8 months clean off of the television. It's pretty good. Yeah, I tend not to really stream movies anymore anyway. Sometimes I'll analyze a movie for the sake of my audience to show them just how subversive and manipulative some of these things have been. But okay, so this is an interesting one, and this isn't like a specific book that you can buy, but it's a more of a broad recommendation. This is Cicero on the Good Life. I would not recommend this copy to anybody. This one is by the Folio Society. It's like a fucking $80 book, which is absurd. I found it at a antique place, very cheap, so that's the only reason I have this version. Don't get this version. Like, you can find this translated to other places where you're not paying $80 for a freaking book, just because it has a nice cover. It's just ridiculous. I think I got it for like $15 or something at an antique place, and it was unopened. It was like actually inside of like a plastic wrap when I got it, so I got really lucky with this. But good one, really good one. This is just a broad collection of some of Cicero's works, his discussions at Tusculum. What else is there? There is On Duties, On the Orator, On the State, Cato the Elder, On Old Age, On Friendship, and it's just his philosophical takes on some of these different concepts. This is a good book for. I have a lot of people that reach out to me and they state that they are struggling psychologically with what's going on in society. They're having a hard time controlling their emotions through these things. They're very stressed out with what's going on. They don't know how to kind of cope with learning all of this stuff. These books will help you a lot with that. Some of these philosophical books, there's so many of them. I don't want to give you like a billion, but this is a good one. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. The Republic is another good example. Pretty much anything you can get your hands on that is ancient Greek or ancient Roman philosophy, specifically in the category of Stoicism, I always recommend. You'll find a lot of really good reads, and it'll help you control your anger, control your distraught feelings about this shitty Jewish modern society that we live inside of. It'll help you with a lot of that stuff. So I always recommend these books. This is just for general mental health, right? Because I think that's important. Like, being in this fight, it's not fun. It's not fun learning that the entire society that you thought you could trust and that you thought was protecting you was actually lying to you your entire childhood. It's all equally not easy when you have family and friends that A, don't realize this, or B, are very adverse to you when you try to tell them about these things. It can feel kind of lonely. It can feel aggravating, upsetting, all of these things it can feel. So I do really recommend that you guys read up on some books like that will help you with your mental health and how you feel on these things. I think that's a very important concept. It helped me. That's all I can say. It helped me. I don't have a lot of black pill moments. Really doesn't happen for me. I'm pretty optimistic overall, and I absolutely attribute that to what I've learned. Strathmore with a 1488, very base donation. Thank you, sir. He says book money. Oh slash. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I will definitely be getting some more books very soon. And I do want to mention once again, and then we're going to take a brief break. I have to use the restroom. I feel a little bit kind of wheezy today. I feel off. Let me pull this up. Okay. This is the newest company that I am now partnered with. I really recommend you guys check their books out. They got a lot of really nice stuff. This is Antelope Hill Publishing. You can find them at antelopehillpublishing.com. They've got quite a category of books. They've got, stuff on National Socialist Germany. We've got some fascist literature. We've got some fiction books, Whitey on the Moon. You've got some Italian fascism. You've got some Christian fascism. You've got, look at this one, Ancestral Inheritance by Joseph Otto Plassmann, Rise of the NSDAP. We've got some works by Joseph Goebbels. We've got quite a few fiction books on here as well, which I don't really read much fiction myself. You Gentiles, as we were describing. So here we go. Here's a good. If you do want to get You Gentiles and analyze Jewish psychology, get it on a website that you're supporting our guys who are ideologically aligned with us. We got one about Solzhenitsyn. We got Burning Souls by de Grel, which is a fantastic book. Really, really good, spiritually good book. We got a Christian nationalist work here. We've got a Vermocht fitness manual. So, all of these books are available on antelopehillpublishing.com. Yet again, just like Money Tree Publishing, if you use code LOGOS, LOGOS, you're going to save 10% on the purchase. Exactly 10%, same as Money Tree Publishing, no different. All right, with that said, that's a little bit of promotion there for the show. Obviously, we have to keep ourselves afloat here. I'm going to take a brief intermission. I'll be back in about 5 minutes, and we're going to get into Mein Kampf, which is my final book recommendation that I want to give. So give me 1 moment, guys. I'll be back in a couple minutes here. All right, folks, we are back. Thank you for your patience. I see we got a $5 super chat over on Odyssey from Der Cherusker. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. I hope I am. He says, some good books are Look to Germany, The Heart of Europe by Stanley McClatchy. I've never heard of that. That's interesting. Ich Kampfe, I Fight by Hermann Lees. I've heard of that book. I have not read it. Vater aller Dinge, Father of All Things by Kurt Eggers. Never heard of that book. An Invasion by Ian Stewart Donaldson. Some interesting recommendations. Actually, let me take a copy this down because I've never heard of these books. The only one I'm familiar with is Ich Kampfe. Okay. All right. I'll keep that in a little list on the side. I'll have to give those a look. Okay, now we're on to the final and most important book recommendation of the show, which is Mein Kampf. Okay, I have read this, I think, seven times. As you can see, the binding is falling off the back. We've got, you know, the pages are super worn out. They're dirty. We've got pen mark on pretty much every page. This is a fantastic read. I mean, I cannot recommend this book enough. If you are living in modern society and you feel like shit is wrong, simply put, shit is wrong, this is a must-read book. You have to read this book. This tells you why shit is wrong, who is behind why shit is wrong. It tells you how they've made shit wrong, and it tells you how to fix the shit that's wrong. Must-read book. I cannot recommend this enough. In our modern age, this is the most important work right now, okay? Because we are experiencing what this gentleman was experiencing in his country all of those years ago, word for word. You could actually argue it might be a little bit worse because we have this technology and shit going on that they didn't have back then, with social media, where like your children are being brainwashed and manipulated by a device that's at their fingertips all day, every day. You know, we have these incessant porn ads. I mean, like, you can't even go on Twitter and scroll through Twitter without pornography. It's everywhere. It's disgusting. Please watch the last Red Eye. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the AFD or what's going on over there at all, to be honest. David Irving's okay. I think David Irving's rhetoric was too soft for me. I like people that are like more, they're really pushing it out there. I don't think he pushed it out there enough. Itchy ear, man. What's going on? So, if you are going to read Mein Kampf, you're going to get yourself a copy of this book. Wow, what's going on here? Jeez. It's like allergies or something. I highly recommend that you get the Stalag edition. You can also get the Thomas Dalton edition, which is equally good. But the Stalag edition is the only edition that was translated by the NSDAP into English, officially authorized. Do not get the Murphy or Mannheim editions. I do not recommend the Ford edition. Please, if you're going to read this book, read it correctly. Get the Stalag edition or get the Thomas Dalton edition. Then you can read this book correctly. If you would like to get the Stalag edition, it is on MoneyTreePublishing.com. Yet again, code LOGOS, L-O-G-O-S. You're going to save yourself 10%. Fantastic read. I cannot recommend this book enough. The process that you go through when you start to wake up in society and experience what's happening, who controls things, when you learn about what a Jew is, and you learn how they feel about us, this, what we call the red pill process, taking the red pill. Hitler literally lays out his red pill process in chapter 2 of this book, Learning and Suffering in Vienna. And I have to say, it is mind-boggling to read his process of how he came to this. And you're going to learn, what's the most important piece to learn here is that this man was not crazy. He was not filled with hatred. He was not insane. He wasn't piped up on drugs, okay? All these fucking asinine claims that you constantly hear from people about this man. First off, he's too intelligent to be insane. It's not possible. You can't be insane and be this intelligent. The way he so stoically, calmly lays out all of these very important concepts. Secondly, he was not some crazy hothead, because it's exemplified in this book. When you read and you see, wait a minute, he questions everything as he's going and he's chugging along, and he's looking at communism as this terrible thing, which is completely Jewish. He says to himself in this book, he analyzes and he says, I had to ask myself, communism and the Jews that are in connection with communism, is this a mistake on their part? Do they not realize how destructive this ideology will be? Or is it intentional that it's this destructive? And are they using this with destructive purposes in mind? And he comes to the logical conclusion through a deduction of analyzing both sides of this question that yes, absolutely, they're doing this intentionally. They have to be. This cannot be oblivious innocence. It is intentional, right? So he's not a crazy man. He's not a madman. He's not biased and hateful. He's not insane. And then, you know, these claims, drug addict or whatever, it's, again, no drug addict could run a civilization like he was running a civilization. It's just, like, it's not possible. These are all, like, bogus claims. They never smear his ideology. They never say, oh, Hitler, his views about a labor-based currency are just, nah, they just won't function right. Oh, Hitler's idea of art, oh, it's just insane, it doesn't make sense, it's not good art. You don't hear those things. You hear character smears. He was a druggie, he had one testicle, his mother was Jewish, he was a Rothschild agent. That's a big one, and all these, I'm sorry, but this is just honest, these fucking Palestinian, pro-Palestine people are so fucking anti-Hitler, and it's insanity. It's insane. They all spread this rhetoric of, well, he worked with the Zionists. He was a Zionist puppet shill. These people are too scared to even say Jew. They're still saying Zionist every 15 words. It's absurd. Okay, and this is an intentional subversion. People are getting stuck in the psychological trap. These Palestinians that are all fuck Hitler, Zionism is Nazism. This shitty rhetoric. We need to fix that. That has to be broken down, because yet again, inside of this book, okay, where he analyzes the Jews having a home state in Israel, he states that a big worry that he has, as well as the National Socialist Party, was that Israel will become a home refuge of international swindling, where Jews will flee to, and how they're going to be terrible to the Arabs on the land. And guess what? Everything he said they would do, everything he predicted about them, they're doing. So, the idea that he's a Zionist and he's awful, this is a huge subversion that they're teaching these left-wing, pro-Palestine, anti-Israel people. Those people are just prone to every form of brainwash you can physically imagine. If they're not trannies and pro-communists, then they're anti-Israel because it's a white colonial state and it's racist Zionism spreading itself. These people are fucking, they're insane. They're not well. They're not well. They need help. They really need help. And most of them are not prone to education. You can't have a conversation with them. They're too stuck in their mindset. They won't look at anything or analyze anything. So that's a big piece. That's a big one. Now, with this book recommendation comes a little bit of an announcement, and I'm sure if you are a longtime watcher, if you are someone who's been watching me on Odyssey for over a year, if you are someone who used to watch me on GTV, maybe even if you're someone that watches me on Twitter, you are going to appreciate this announcement, because I'm going to be reading this book and analyzing it live as my next probably 30 Logos Academy episodes, because, well, it's a long book. We were doing this a while back. We were reading this book. I had picked a couple chapters that I really appreciated, and I was reading and analyzing the chapters, and my audience Loved it. I think it was the favorite thing that anybody ever saw on my show. It was constantly, I get messages still. It's been like over a year. People are like, oh, are you going to pick that up again? Are you going to do that again? Are you going to read that book on your show? So I'm going to do that. I'm going to read this book on my stream in hopes to inspire people to read it themselves, but additionally to educate people on what was actually laid out here, because not a lot of people will take the time to read it themselves. And I will provide a analysis of the book. So I will be taking some of the things he talks about, relating them to the modern age, showing people exactly what he's trying to articulate. This is a project that will take a while, but this is going to start on Friday. This next show, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, I am going to be reading Mein Kampf on my show. We're going to start with chapter one. We're going to start at the very front of the book. We're going to go all the way through the book. Now, it might not be every single show, because I will have guest hosts on from time to time. Like, we've got the Antelope Hill people coming on next Friday. We've got other, you know, interviews and things that might happen in between. So obviously, if I'm doing that, I'm not going to be reading the book. But if it's just me and it's a solo show, I will be reading Mein Kampf for the Logos Academy episodes and giving a deep analysis of the book. It's just too important to not do this. I really need to inspire my audience to be reading this. And I hope that reading it with you guys and analyzing it will do that. So that's going to be probably the next like 30 episodes or so, minus like interviews. Fight for freedom now. So here's the thing that people spread around. They spread around that Hitler and the National Socialists helped the Zionist Jews move to Israel. Yes. Yes, they did. Now, this is called strategy. You have to ask yourself this. If today you could get all the Jews to move out of your country, you could sign a contract with them and they all move out of your country willingly, you don't have to force them out and hear them crying about persecution, all this gay shit. You just sign a contract and the Jews go, hey, I'll go take all my goods and I'll go to Israel. Fuck you, goy. If you could sign that contract, you would do it. Sorry, you would do it. Mayorkas would be gone. We'd have control over our border. Redvinsky would be gone. OnlyFans wouldn't be permeating all of society. The rabbi who owns Pornhub would be gone. Pornhub would potentially take a serious hit, and we could end up pushing into legislation to get it banned. Zuckerberg would go away. Wojcicki, well, the one that's alive, would go away. All of these Jews that are destructive to society, if you could sign that contract, you could say, sure, sure, let's do it. Go home, go home. You would do it. And if you wouldn't do it, you're a fucking idiot. You're an idiot. You're insane. If you wouldn't do that, you're insane. There's something seriously wrong with you. So that's what they did. They came. They had an ultimatum. They had a choice here. Either Hitler and the National Socialists, they could say, okay, these Jews want to peacefully leave our civilization, never come back, lose their citizenship status, take all their shit with them. No strings attached. They just go. They just go. We play nice. We do peace proposals and stuff, right? Show some solidarity with that. Or we could deny that, we could ignore that contract, and give them their persecutions that they're always whining about, start kicking them out, throw even more of them into concentration camps, push them out of the country physically, forcefully. Then they're going to be whining about persecution, they're going to be crying about how all their belongings are left behind. It's the most civil thing they could have done. It was the most humane thing that Hitler could have possibly done. Remember, they say, oh, such an evil man, such an evil man. Yeah, well, when he did this Havara Agreement, it's actually a display of his civility. He didn't want to. He didn't want to have massacres and a bloody war. He wanted these people to just leave peacefully and have their own nation state and actually try to be upstanding citizens like the rest of the world. Now, clearly, that's never going to happen. And he also theorized that it was very possible it wouldn't happen. Right? He writes it in Mein Kampf. But if you had that option, you would do the same. You would do the same. So people twist this and they say, oh, well, That's because the Nazis secretly loved the Jews, and Hitler was a Rothschild agent, and they were helping the Jews create Israel so that the Jews could cause more havoc in society. No, that's not true at all, because they even said themselves what they felt like the Jews might do with that land and why they needed an international council to make sure that they wouldn't do these things. So it's an absurd rhetoric. Fight for freedom. No, I've never even heard that. I would just have to say no. I don't have research on that because I've never even heard that claim. God. Neck's killing me. So, with that said, I think we're kind of coming to a conclusion on the show. We might end a little bit early today. I don't have much more to talk about. I gave all my book recommendations. I do, again, want to encourage one more time, that you get yourself a copy of Mein Kampf. Follow along with me when we do this reading stream and we start doing a deep analysis of Mein Kampf. Come with me. Follow along. Get yourself a copy of the Stalag edition of Mein Kampf. And you can physically follow with me as we read the book. You can read it yourself as well. You can sit and take notes. I mean, look, just show you my Mein Kampf. See, like, I got underlines, notes, brackets, you name it. It's on every freaking page. That's how insightful this book is. There's not a page that's not worth reading. A lot of books you read, it's like, oh, this section kind of sucks. It's not that important. Every page. Literally every page. They're all important. All important pages. So, must read. Must read. We're going to start this up on Friday. Get yourself a copy. Follow along with us. Take the notes in it. Study this book. It's a book to be studied, not just listened to or briefly read online on some page. Study this book. Take a pen to this book. Again, if you want to get the Stalag edition, which is the edition that we will be reading, you can find that on moneytreepublishing.com. Code LOGOS, LOGOS. You're going to save yourself 10% on the purchase. Okay. And I will also get a small royalty for your support of my code. So it's a win-win-win. Everybody wins. You're supporting one of our guys who's been in this fight for like 3 decades. By using the website, you're supporting me by using my code, and you're supporting yourself by giving yourself education on the most important book in the world right now. With that said, folks, I think we're going to get ready to close up here. Again, if you guys do want to support the show, help keep me going, help me get more books so I can continue to teach you guys about these things and bring up more and more recommendations. All the options to do so are in the description below. We've got Odyssey for Super Chats. We've got Rumble for Super Chats. Entropy, FTJ Media. You can Super Chat on any of those platforms. We also have crypto wallets. I'm opening up more and more every day because I know everybody has their preferences. We've got like a Bitcoin wallet. I've got Ethereum. I've got, I'm not sure if I have Litecoin set up. I've got Solana. I have Cardona, however you say that. A lot of cryptos. I'm trying to start getting... up on all of these things. So, okay. With that said, ended up a little bit early tonight. So, you guys enjoy the rest of your evening. Go find yourself some other nice shows to watch. I'm sure there's a lot more out there. And thank you guys very much for watching this show. I will see you guys tomorrow. I'm going to be live at 4 p.m. Eastern, joined by Monica Schaefer, Lana from Red Ice, and Michelle Renouf. It's going to be a very good show. We're going to be talking about Ursula Haverback. It's going to be a show in memory of her. Okay. All right. Thank you again, guys. Have a wonderful evening, and I'll see you guys tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. Enjoy yourselves. Good night.